Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Hello and welcome to today's inspiration. I am your host, Lisa Berry. I'm so glad you're taking the time to listen either live on this lovely Wednesday morning or you have found the show on BodyMindSpiritRadio.com. That's the joy of the internet today. You can listen to programs like this anywhere, anytime. And I'm hoping I can inspire you with some love and laughter, some hope and humor. And my choice to look at life as positive as possible. And I believe it is a choice. Pretty much everything that happens in this world and in your world is from your perspective, your choice. Sometimes it takes work or effort to see things positively, but why would you want to waste a day looking at life any other way? I'm coming to you live right now on this Wednesday morning from the Detroit area in Michigan. I know you could be listening anywhere in the world. And if you're listening live, I would love you to call in and join in on the conversation. 646-378-0378 is the number. Again, it's 646-378-0378. If you want to talk, if you want to connect, if you want to feel some love, if you want to be inspired, if you've got something going on in your life that we can talk about, maybe help you see it in a different light and get through that, because life is full of ups and downs. That is why I'm doing this show. That is where my life has been, a lot of downs, but I'm on the upside now because I'm a big thinker and I've been through a lot, and lately I've been thinking how much effort we put into staying healthy and going to the doctor and eating healthy foods and working out, and how many people right now are fighting to stay alive and undergoing treatments and procedures to improve their quality of life. But those efforts should be made on all levels. We should not take one moment of life for granted and try to make the most of every moment. Because what else are you fighting for? Why are you eating that fruit this morning and working out and going to the doctors and taking care of your health? Because you want to be alive. So if you are blessed to be alive and healthy, why are you not making the most of every moment? I call myself a moment savorer because it really is all about right now. All we have is right now. Dr. Rudy Tanzi, who wrote a book with Deepak Chopra called The Superbrain, is going to be a guest on July 2nd. I'm really, really looking forward to that. And they're researching a lot about the brain and how we can train our brains. Deepak even thinks you can sort of change your genetics. He's coming on the show too. I just haven't nailed down an exact time. Putting it out there, universe. And you can change your brain, and when you're stressed out, if something's going on, Dr. Tanzi has said, you tell yourself, I'm okay right now. All I have is right now, which, you know, I know perspective and thinking positive does take work, and some people say, well, that's easier for you to say, and, you know, it's just about being in this moment and being grateful for what you do have. I mean, you are alive, you are breathing, you woke up this morning, and I wake up every morning and I think something exciting is going to happen today. Maybe you're going to call me, 646-378-0378, and I'm going to meet somebody new and cool like you, and we're going to connect, we're going to have a conversation, and we're going to change somebody's life, because we're going to talk about that a little later in the show about life is not really about what can you do for yourself, but what you can do for others. So some people get up caught up in the drama of life and look for what's wrong, and they choose to be offended. And believe me, all you have to do is get in your car, drive up to the corner, and you can be offended, because I think people feel somewhat anonymous behind the wheel, and lots of things go on the road that are not so nice. Or you can wake up every morning and have gratitude and think of all you have to be thankful for. Even if you're feeling sorry for yourself and you can't think of anything, believe me, been there, I'm human, I'm trying. That's what this show, today's inspiration, is all about, to give you the perspective and to maybe help you learn from what I've learned about life, because I've had my ups and downs. But hey, you woke up. And every day I say that something isn't growing where it shouldn't be or falling off is a good day. So earlier this week, something fell off of me. Took a little work to deal with it, but, you know, I'm okay. I was eating a soft bagel, and one of my teeth kind of sort of just sheared in half. So I knew I was going to the dentist. Little did I know that was just the beginning of what turned out to be a pretty personally challenging day. That's the PC way to put it, personally challenging day. So I had to do a little extra work to put it in the proper positive perspective, and you can do that too. It's all how you look at it. Everything is perspective. two people can be looking at the exact same thing and see something different. You can look at something that you think is bad and someone else can think it's good. It's how you choose to lose your life. That was horrible. How you choose to live your life. Well, we're all going to lose our life in the end anyway. Nobody likes to talk about that. We all have the same ending. And I don't know, maybe I feel like I have a special view of that because of everything that I've been through. So I'm here. It's like every day somebody gave me, today's a gift. That's why they call it the present. I know that's kind of been around for a while, and hopefully you don't think that's cliche, but all we really do have this moment. So anyway, so I broke my tooth and one thing turned into the other, and it was all a pretty personally challenging day. That's how I'm going to put it. So one of the things that soured my mood had to do with me being passed over for something that I thought I wanted. Then I found this great article about why rejection can be good for you. Talk about turning lemons into lemonade. We're going to talk here for a moment by why rejection can actually be good for you. Bo Bennett says rejection is nothing more than a necessary step in the pursuit of success. I don't know if you're a fan of Marianne Williamson. She actually lived in the Detroit area for quite some time. Love her. She's written many books. She's an inspiration to a lot of people. She ran for Congress in California. I thought she was going to pull it out, but she came in fourth place. So I'm thinking this morning, what is Marianne Williamson thinking? She put so much time and effort and money, and she really wanted it with all her heart to become a member of Congress and start changing what's happening in our world, because let's not even start talking about politics. It's not pretty. And I really felt strongly that Marianne could be part of that change. But we found out this morning she came in fourth. She's alive, so I shouldn't be too sad. But, hey, that was a rejection. And I'm wondering how – she probably read a book about it. She probably learned a lot of lessons along the way. And as I said, Bo Bennett says, a rejection is nothing more than a necessary step in the pursuit of success. The word stings. There is perhaps no greater human fear than being refused, denied, dismissed, especially when we really care what we have put out there in our hearts and our work and our ideas. Like Marianne, she really cared and she thought she was going to make a difference, and it didn't work out for her. But what we often do not understand about rejection is that it's temporary, sooner or later, somehow helpful or a simple course correct. The problem with rejection is not rejection itself. It's just the fact that we can't understand the greater plan behind it in that moment. Nor do we want to, as we are too busy licking our wounds and cursing the world. Rejection only makes sense with hindsight. So in the moment, it stings, it hurts, like this week for me. Not, as I said, a few things happened, and you just get this feeling. It's like a sense in your body, and it's not a good feeling. So I really had to work on myself to think, okay, that wasn't meant to be. Was that really what I wanted? No, actually it wasn't. So it just made me focus and hone in on what I really wanted more. So reasons that rejection rules, well, there's something better waiting for you. That's just, you just have to look at it that way. How many times in your life have you looked back and realized the job or the love interest or the house that you thought was going to be yours wasn't, and now something better came along because of it? So you just have to take a moment, get some perspective, and realize, well, something better is waiting for you. Not like, oh, I'm a loser and they don't want me and it's all downhill from here. Uh-uh. Looking uphill. We're looking up. Look up. We're looking uphill because something better is waiting for you if you were rejected or didn't get something you thought you wanted. Maybe you were thinking too small. Maybe what you thought you wanted wasn't big enough for you. Maybe there's something bigger and better out there. So that rejection or something that you thought you wanted that you didn't get is making room for you to find or do something else. I'm thinking Marianne should come to Michigan. She was running for Congress in California. She should come to Michigan and run. I could work on her campaign. We could be together, and maybe she'll run for president. Who knows? You know, I'm sure she's going through all these things in her mind right now because, well, you know, at first it does hurt a little, but get on, move onward and upward. Now, next one is really good about rejection. It's rarely personal. Huh. Everybody takes everything personally, and the person who cut you off in traffic or the person that cut you off in line or doesn't return your email or your phone call, and you're sitting there going, woe is me, I'm Eeyore, I'm a loser, and it's rarely personal. It's really probably they were busy or somebody said something to somebody else, and it's just not the right timing. So that is so empowering in all walks of life, in any situation that you're dealing with. It's rarely personal. I think it's Don Miguel Ruiz who has that great quote about not taking things personally. if you could just take one thing away from anything that I'm saying here this morning, is that that can really free your mind, that can really free your life, that can really help you deal with things and not dwell in negativity as you walk this walk across the planet until the end. It's not personal. It's not about you. I mean, that's kind of sad to think people really aren't thinking about you. I have a lot of situations in my life lately involving my kids and other things that things aren't working out for them, and it's because other people aren't thinking about them. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later, compassion and doing things for other people. But it's not personal. Another upside of rejection, talk about turning a negative into a positive. You learn a lesson and you reevaluate. Sometimes rejection helps us evaluate. If you're fired from a job, someone lets you go for something, but you learn a lesson and you reevaluate, and it puts you in a new direction. So we're talking about rejection. And if you do want to call, I'd love to talk to you. 646-378-0378. Maybe, you know, I love to debate. If you think, lady, you're full of it, let's talk about it, because I think I've learned a lot and would like to talk about that to you. So we're talking about the upside of rejection. It makes you empathetic to others. Maybe that's why I'm so compassionate and empathetic from all the rejection in my life. But experiencing suffering makes us kinder to others. Next time we need to let someone down, having experienced being let down ourselves, we could be a little more gentle about it. No experience is ever wasted. And if you're rejected and you're feeling bad and something didn't work out, you say, so what? You're still alive. The old saying, what doesn't kill us makes us stronger, can be true particularly when pertaining to rejection. When you look back at the no's and the rejections and the disappointments in your life, it makes you appreciate more about what you have now. And what lesson can you learn from this? And how can you move forward from that? So if you've experienced rejection and you want to talk about it or anything that I've said, 646-378-0378 is the number to call. I do not have a guest today. I've spoken to a lot of great people on this show, so it's just me alone, but I do have something cool coming up that I've been working on that might help relax your day, and I'm hoping to expand. It's called Lisa's Love Notes, and that's coming up in just a few minutes, so get ready for that. I also found this great article by Ralph Marston. I have never met Ralph. I follow him on Twitter, and I'm not taking credit for anybody else's stuff. He puts out the most inspiring, most uplifting tweets all day long, and I just love Ralph Marston, and we'll have him on the show too. See, I'm putting it out there, positive in the universe. He said, it's easy and natural to feel frustrated with life. Natural? I guess it is. I think it's human nature to be a pessimist. I don't know. It's natural to feel frustrated with life. But Ralph Marston says, when you do step back, experience the frustration and let it motivate you, but don't let it control you. So that's kind of what we've just been talking about with rejection. Let it motivate you. Let it take it and say, okay, that didn't work out, but something better is in store for me, and let it focus you and refocus you and head you in that direction. But don't let it control you. He says there's something good and right, powerful and purposeful within you that makes your frustration possible. And then ask yourself, what could that be? Frustration or rejection occurs when life doesn't unfold the way you'd like for it to. So instead of letting that extreme sense of disappointment overwhelm you, step back from it and get your bearing. Then challenge yourself to come up with a positive, measured response. So I'm saying it does take a little effort, but we're looking up rather than a destructive, impulsive one like eat a dozen donuts or gallon of ice cream. Although I'm here to tell you don't have to eat the whole, you know, whenever I talk to fitness people and they say, you don't need to eat the whole sleeve of cookies. I don't eat the whole sleeve of cookies, but if I have two, I gain weight. So I don't know if that's a genetics or an age thing, but easier said than done, but with something we're all trying for. Challenge yourself to come up with a positive, measured response rather than eating a half gallon of ice cream. Like, I don't know, you have an idea, talk to somebody. Read a book, take a bubble bath. I love that. Has anyone ever taken a bubble bath and it made them feel better? We hear that a lot, but okay. So How, maybe you have an idea. What makes you feel better when you've been rejected or frustrated? 646-378-0378. Take the raw power of frustration and transform it into the power of positive intention. Let go of the self-defeating need to lash out. Don't take it out on anybody else. And see all the possibilities for moving forward. Then follow through on your intention and take real effective action. And from a frustrating situation, just as from any situation, you can always choose to triumph. And again, it's a choice. You can always choose which way you want to move and what's going to work for you and how can you get out of the situation. It's your choice how to look at it. It's your choice how to react. And I know you. I had a mini pity party this week because I said something didn't go the way that I wanted to do. But honestly, I really do feel like there's something better in store and I can turn it around and it's made me hone in on what I really want to do, and I'm hoping to move in an upward, more positive direction. Okay, so I've been working on this for a while. This is my very first one. You're here for my debut of Lisa's Love Notes. everyone's so busy these days, but I thought we could all use like a brief moment of inspiration, relaxation, a little pick-me-up. So I am now going to play my very first one for you, and I hope this works out because it's a technical thing and I am not an engineer. But ladies and gentlemen, Lisa's Love Notes. Lisa's Love Notes. Everything will be okay. Just breathe. Life is short. All we have is this moment. So make the most of it. Focus on something positive. Let go of bad memories and unfounded fears. Fear nothing and think only of love. Take time to realize what makes you happy. Where are you headed? What direction do you want to move in? Think about that and feel yourself doing what you want to do. What brings you joy? Jump into it and feel what it would feel like to be doing that. Breathe deep and realize we only have so much time on this planet. So why not make that as possible. Breathe. It's all about love and thinking of others. Share your gifts and do what you can to help others. Breathe. Okay, so after a little false start there, that is Lisa's Love Notes. And I have a website, and there'll be more of those coming. I find it relaxing, and that's kind of weird to listen to yourself, but hopefully you did. And if you liked it, Lisa Love Barry, Barry at gmail.com. If you think you didn't like it, email me too. I love to hear from people. I love to connect with people, but that is something that I'm working on. Just a little two-minute relaxation, inspirational moment, and I'm going to tell you later where to be. You can find those and access them any time of the day. Maybe when you wake up in the morning and need a little refresher, or middle of the day, need a little refresher, you're going to a meeting and you're stressed out, and you just only have a couple of minutes. I'm hoping to have more of those, and I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it made a difference in your life. Well, we started talking about this last week, and then our guest called in, and we never really got to finish it. I received an email, and as I said, email me anytime, lisaloveberry, B-A-R-R-Y, at gmail.com. This email was from a woman named Carol, who said there's been a lot of talk about happiness lately on TV and so on, and she asked me, what is your take on happiness, Lisa? Do you think it is a choice? Well, thanks, Carol, for reaching out. As I said, I'd love to get your emails, and I'd love for you to call in 646-378-0378. Happiness has been a hobby of mine for many years. I guess because my childhood was so unhappy and painful and miserable, I decided that now that I'm an adult, I can choose to let go of all those negative memories, and I guess I choose to be happy. As I say, sometimes it takes work. Sometimes things just come to you and they're naturally happy. But it basically comes from my realization that we're all only walking this planet for a certain amount of time, and I want to enjoy that trip. None of us knows when that journey is going to end, so I try to make it as positive as possible. I don't look for drama or pain, and believe me, it'll find you. You don't have to look for it. I chose to focus on the good parts of my life, and having gratitude and thinking what you're grateful for is a big part of that. As I said, I wake up every morning, and whether you meditate or pray or both, thinking about what you're thankful for and having gratitude is a big, they say it changes your brain and attracts more positive things to you. So happiness, here's some things I've researched and found about happiness. Happiness may be genetic or based on upbringing, but there's a new field now called positive psychology. It shows that we can control nearly 50% of our own happiness. So people who are happy choose to make happiness among their top goals in life. Now, does that sound silly to you? Because really, as I said, when I started finding articles and thinking about it, it became sort of a hobby. And I'm not a trained psychologist. I did go to college, but I have a communications degree, and I've worked in radio for over 20 years. If I say how long, it makes me sound old. So I'm going to be happy. And I always just say over 20 years. But I'm focused so... if you make it a priority, if you think about it, just like anything else in your life, you can be happy. Just trying to be happier can elevate your mood and sense of well-being. So if you put some effort into it, if it's top of mind, if you're thinking about it, you can elevate your mood. If you're thinking, hey, you know what? Today, no matter what happens, I'm going to be happy. And you may have to tell yourself that 300 times in a day, but it does work. Choose to be around people and in environments that increase your probability of being happy. Do you ever think about who you're hanging out with or who you're spending your time with or who you're giving your attention to? Who are the top five, as Dr. Joey Fawcett told us, a great interview that's here on BodyMindSpiritRadio.com. You can listen to it. Who are the top five people that you text or call or communicate with or eat meals with? Those people should be positive people if you want to be happy. They should be inspiring people who support you. So be careful about who you spend your time with. I know you're like, I'm at work and I'm stuck here for 8 hours a day. Well, hang out with the cool people. Hang out with the, everything is perspective. We're all cool people, but hang out with the people who boost you up and try to make you feel better about what you're doing, not who are competitive and try to bring you down. Becoming more mindful and meditating can help boost your happiness. I'm hoping to have David G on. I'm putting all these things out here into the universe. David G is my favorite meditation teacher. It's David J-I, all one word. I highly recommend it if you are new to meditation or you're thinking about meditation or you want to expand your meditation experience. He has a gift. He's just the most wonderful communicator, and he can really just get through this microphone and into your head and into your heart. And if you want to meditate, David G is my number one choice. I know there's a lot of other people out there that I hope to be connecting with in the weeks and months and years to come. But right now, I'm meditating with David G, and he's the one who really got me started. And they do guided meditations because I know it's hard. It's hard to just stop and stop your brain and focus on your breath and think of a mantra. It's easier said than done. So I started out with guided meditations with David G, and I really found it helpful. I just love him. I got to meet him once in Chicago, and he's a great, great guy. Meditation actually helps shift your brain activity. This rocked my world when I saw this. It shifts your brain activity from the right frontal area of the brain associated with depression, anxiety, and worry to the left, which has been found to correlate with feelings of happiness and joy and excitement. So you're actually changing your brain. And that's that's part of the new positive psychology and the brain research. And that we'll be talking to Dr. Tansy too on July 2nd. And I'm so honored he's going to be coming on. But a lot of it is about you can change your brain. You can change your thoughts. You can choose what you're thinking about, and meditation can change your brain. So it's not just about relaxing, lowering your blood pressure, which are all great things, but you're literally changing your brain by meditating. Gratitude is also another scientifically proven way to increase happiness. Gratitude. Grateful people tend to appreciate simple pleasures. I know I'm really into nature. It's when you don't, when it's you, you know, there are anything you can do that call, you can fly to Tahiti, that's, you're going to be happy, and you can go on a shopping spree, or you can go to the a lovely restaurant and have a great meal, but all that costs money. So if you want to have gratitude, and you don't want to spend money, go outside. Look at the miracles. Birds and flowers and butterflies, they're all miracles. There's so many. I love sunrises and sunsets. I have dozens of pictures of sunsets, and then because I always worked on a morning radio show and I never was in a studio, didn't get to see the sunrises. So that's my new hobby now. I get to see the sunrise. And to me, that means the beginning of a new day. It is a new chance and healing from yesterday. And gratitude has been scientifically proven to increase happiness, and it makes you appreciate the simple things in life. And a nurse who worked years with elderly people on their deathbed noticed a common theme came up repeatedly among her patients at the end of their lives. Get ready for this? They regretted not letting themselves be happy. They didn't realize until the end that happiness is a choice. So there you have it. You know, I know life is tough. Believe me, been there, done that over and over. And as I said, this hasn't been a great week for me. But I'm choosing to find the positive in the negative. And I'm choosing to be happy. And don't wait till you're on your deathbed or at the end of your life. And then you think, man, why did I not let myself be happy? Let yourself be happy. You can find something good. I know you can. You can find something in there. Call me. I'll make you happy. I love to cheer. I call myself the great distractor. 646-378-0378. I have a quick wit. I haven't really gotten into a lot of jokes and stand-up, although I'll tell you one of my recent jokes that I came with. You know, social media is so big, and people have Instagram. And apparently there's a trend now of posting topless pictures on Instagram. And I said, for me, a topless picture on Instagram would be me without hairspray. Pausing for laughter. You probably don't even know what Instagram is. If you should, because it's where everyone is communicating these days. But don't wait to the end of your life and have any regrets. Don't waste a moment. As I said, I've seen it. No one knows when our journey is going to end. No one knows when something not pleasant is going to happen. So if you're sitting here, and I said, if you go have a day and something's not growing where it shouldn't be or falling off like my tooth did this week, then you're having a good day. And you have no reason not to be happy. So don't wait to the end of your life and realize that happiness is a choice. I'm also a firm believer that age is just a number, and I refuse to be identified by that number. Actually, Sharon Stone, the actress, said that recently. She was on with Oprah, and I just love that. And I posted that on Facebook, and I said, I refuse to be defined by my age. And one of my comedian friends promptly wrote, that only old people say that. Which was not very nice, but you know what? You don't have to be defined. When I was young, I was too young. You know, everyone said, oh, you're too young. You got to get some experience and some years under your belt. And now that I'm not 22, people say, they don't say, but you wonder if people are thinking you're too old. So I'm not going to be defined by that. But I found this great article about anti-aging. You know, people say you're as young as you feel. But just, you know, you look in the mirror and sometimes how you feel is not as easy to accept. And when I write my book, I'm going to write a book for women about all the things that are important in life, about getting married and having self-confidence and having a baby and all those things you think you're supposed to do and they're so easy. And all the little secrets that no one ever talks about, the realities of getting married. And it's not about the ring and it's not about the dress and it's not about the honeymoon. It's about respecting the other person. And it's work. It doesn't have to be work. It takes effort. How about effort? Is effort a better word than work when it comes to relationships? It takes effort. And it takes daily rededication. And it takes respect. So yeah, the ring is fun and getting China. I couldn't wait to have China is fun and planning the honeymoon and parties and presents. And that's, I think they just do that so people will get married because being married takes a lot of effort. And respect. And I think that's true with any relationship, though. You know, people, I don't know if it's human nature to take other people for granted, or you really should not. You should put effort into any relationship that's important to you, whether it's a sibling or a partner or a child. People do that. I'm on this new thing now with kids about, I think, training our children well and training them and empowering them is the missing link in our society right now. Things are so off track, and I think it all starts at home. That's something we're going to be talking about here in a few weeks. So back to aging, you wash your face and you do your, I have like a moisturizer for 8 different quadrants of my face right now because I'm fighting it. But here are some things you can do for anti-aging. Since this is body, mind, spirit, let's talk about our bodies for a minute. Of course, what do you think the number one recommendation for anti-aging is? It's the number one recommendation for everything. It's the number one recommendation for being depressed. It's the number one for increasing your brain power, for everything. It's exercise. In May of 2014, just last month, findings from the longest-running clinical trial on the relationship between physical activity and aging were revealed, naming exercise as one of the best ways to prevent the loss of mobility that often accompanies old age. What's old age? I don't like that. In other words, use it or lose it. Exercise builds bone mass, which is a good thing for anyone not wanting to break a hip or anything else due to weakness. In addition, exercise makes your heart more efficient. And when you're active, your heart rate goes up and more oxygen can be circulated. And exercise increases blood flow, which helps your brain. And it also helps your brain release serotonin, which is known for fighting depression. So, again, I'm serious. Every situation or problem or anything you read about, the number one solution is exercise. I wonder if that would help. Well, it wouldn't help the roads in Michigan or help our overall economy, but anything else, exercise is the number one thing. Get enough sleep. That's number two. Studies have shown a link between inadequate sleep and cognitive troubles. I don't understand people who skimp on sleep. I guess because I worked morning drive radio and sleep was scarce for me for so many years. Now I'm like, I love sleep. Anytime I can get sleep, it's a good thing. So get your sleep. Sleep deprivation can cause your skin to age faster. Did you know that? And it helps you recover more quickly from stressors to their skin and the sun, and even your brain, I think. If you're not well rested, you're not going to think as well. Here's another anti-aging tip, and that's why we're listening right now, right? Develop a positive attitude. Ask people if they think a positive mental outlook is important, and most of them will say yes, and they are right. But a new study found those who see aging as an opportunity, not that we're on the way out the door, but as an opportunity, are more active, social, and successful than those who don't. And this is why you need to keep listening. Positive people live an average of 7.5 years longer. Live an average of 7.5 years longer. And researchers have also found that those who feel a sense of purpose and have a direction in life may indeed live longer, no matter what their age. So love and laughter and compassion and helping others, which is what this show is all about. Not taking yourself too seriously. I always say I can find humor in pretty much every single situation. All those things are going to help you live longer. Celebrate the gift of growing older and staying young at heart and never stop learning or trying new things. That is so important. If you're getting older and you want to feel and be younger, you're going to live 7.5 years longer. If you listen to today's inspiration, how's that for a tie-in? Listen to today's inspiration and you will live longer. This has not been proved by doctors, but, you know, the preceding comment has not been endorsed by BodyMindSpiritRadio.com. But, hey, the researchers and the scientists are saying it, so I'm going to say it here. Of course, another tip for anti-aging is eat the right foods. People around the world have long marveled at the Japanese, who usually live to be around 100. Michael Wickett was saying the other day about, like, in the 50s, there were 7 people who lived to be 100, and now there are lots of people who live to be 100. We are living longer, and that's because I think we know so much more about what helps us live longer, and one of those is diet. So green tea, for example, has been shown to reduce the risk of death by up to 26% for those who consumed several cups a day. I'm a big tea drinker. I'm not a big green tea drinker, but I've heard many benefits of tea, drinking tea. Another study found that eating nuts every day helps us live longer. I don't know if that's chocolate-covered nuts. That was something that I got out. Oh, who's the big doctor? I can't even think of his name right now. That's awful. Well, I'll skip that story. Another study found that Maybe I need some green tea and nuts. Diet rich in omega-3s may help preserve yourself and slow down the aging process. And telomeres are the ends of your chromosomes that shrink with age. Oh, our telomeres are shrinking. So if you eat a diet rich in omega-3, those aren't going to shrink. I hate to think about that. And in the end, it can help reduce the risk of suffering from chronic disease like cancer, diabetes, and heart disease by simply watching what you eat. Oh, I watch it all right and say, I should not be eating that. We all know better. Oh, and last but not least, sex. Studies show that regular sex can make you look at least 7 years younger. So you're going to look 7 years younger by having that intimate, special intimate connection, and you're going to live 7 years longer by listening to the show. So, hey, there you go. There's your body part wisdom for Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. And again, if you want to join in the conversation, 646-378-0378 is the number. I'm Lisa Berry, longtime Detroit area radio broadcaster, moving into the world of internet radio, which is the future. You can hear the show if you're listening live. Thank you. Call us. Let's connect. Or if you're listening, you found us online. Thank you. Connect Lisa Love Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at gmail.com. The beauty of internet radio is you can listen to whatever you want, wherever you want, whenever you want. And that's why BodyMindSpiritRadio.com is on the cutting edge of the future. And it's all here to make you feel better about yourself and to learn things that are going to help you be happier and live longer. Life is not just about living for ourselves, but what we can do for others. That's according to the Dalai Lama. In fact, the direct quote, and I love the Dalai Lama, he's always laughing. He's always happy. Whether you follow him or believe in him, the things he says are very simple, really. And do we need a Dalai Lama? Can we just tell each other this? I'm here to tell you that life is not about living for ourselves, but what we can do for others. And the quote from the Dalai Lama is, our prime purpose in this life is to help others. And if you can't help them, at least don't hurt them. I love that quote. Our prime purpose in this life is to help others. And if you can't help them, at least don't hurt them. Something to think about. And as I said, I mean, I love the Dalai Lama because he's laughing and he's so big and he's inspirational. I remember he did a prayer for Congress a few months ago. I don't know. I think they knew what to think about him in his yellow and orange robes there. But the things he says are really simple. And why can't we just say them to each other? Why can't you get that same inspiration by listening right here to today's inspiration? And there's a lot of people that I follow and learn from. And one of them is Dr. David Hamilton. He's in England. And just today, he posted the 5 side effects of compassion. I myself am a very compassionate person. It's an intuitive person. I can't tell you about your life or connect with your deceased relatives, but I can meet someone and I'm a good reader of people. I think that's just a basic skill. Maybe I need to develop those other skills. But the downside of that is you cry, I cry. I cry at McDonald's commercials. You cannot cry in front of me and me not cry too, because I feel your pain. I literally feel it. And I feel other people's energy. And sometimes that energy is not positive, and I have to put myself in a little Lucite box and I can still see them and I can still hear them, but I can't feel that energy. It's too much for me. But the good part of that is that as I have empathy and compassion, and as the Dalai Lama said, and as I'm telling you, that we're here to help other people, not hurt other people. So Dr. Hamilton wrote the 5 side effects of compassion. He said, as a ex-pharmaceutical scientist, I enjoy reframing the term side effects. I like that word, reframing. Everything's about reframing. He said, we typically think of side effects in the negative, as in the side effects of drugs. But many of our positive behaviors can also have side effects. So here are Dr. David Hamilton's 5 side effects of compassion. Compassion wires the brain. Here we go again. It's all about what you're doing. People may think meditating is silly or having gratitude is silly, but it's not. It's rewiring your brain. In some ways, we can think of the brain like a muscle, and that we exercise certain regions, they grow, just as muscles do when we exercise them. So compassion causes growth. Again, this is about the same as happiness. The left side of the brain's prefrontal cortex region, which is just a bit above the eyes, and the effect of this is that we find it easier to be compassionate and kind. Compassion begets compassion through creating actual changes in the brain. So, again, it's feelings and sensations and the impact on our brain and how that moves us to see things. Compassion is good for the heart. Compassion fosters warm, emotional contact. When we connect with others in this way, we produce oxytocin. Sounds a lot like the happiness research we were just talking about. One of the key roles in the maintenance of cardiovascular health. It dilates the arteries and reduces blood pressure and helps clear out potentially disease-causing agents. So compassion, it's about love. It's about sharing. It's about feeling and helping others. Compassion slows aging. Here we are in that anti-aging line again. Research shows a strong correlation between compassion and vagal tone. Vagal tone? V-A-G-A-L. Which is the term that describes the health and fitness of the vagus nerve, much as the muscle tone describes the muscles. This is the nerve that controls your inflammatory response, and as you increase that tone, you're going to improve your body's ability to reduce inflammation. And research indeed shows that a practice of cultivation of compassion, where volunteers practice the loving kindness meditation, actually reduced inflammation. So again, compassion, how it can help you and why we should be practicing it. Compassion improves relationships. Research shows that compassion improves relationships. It fosters an emotional connection between two people. A structured practice of compassion meditation improves the quality of personal and professional relationships. So if you're an attorney, and yay to the attorneys, they work so hard, and I put that out there because I think that's a pretty serious competitive industry, and you have to be pretty intense. I'm not an attorney. My sister was, but because I'm goofball, silly, making jokes and anyway. But if you practice compassion at work, in any sense, you can feel closer and bring some kindness into the workplace, and it'll improve your relationship, even professional relationships. It also breaks down the barriers in relationship with people who challenge us. Now that's a good one. People who challenge us, have compassion for them. Easier said than done, isn't it? But man, that's what it's all about. Again, don't take it personally. When we see someone suffering and we are moved to help, we forget reasons why we might have a difficulty with that person, as our natural tendency of compassion tends to take over. In these moments, we see only good and express only good. So compassion brings us back to ourselves. You know, it's not a competition. I mean, I guess in some jobs it is a competition. Well, in the Olympics, it's a competition. But in your day-to-day life, life is not a competition. I love to tell people that. My kids or anybody else, some people are just naturally competitive. And I'm sure in certain circumstances that's a good thing. But it's not, don't compare yourself to other people and wish that you had what they had. It's not that kind of competition. So compassion, it just breaks down those barriers. And you see people as people. And don't take it personally. And last but not least, compassion motivates kindness. When we see someone else suffering, we feel empathy. Empathy is, I feel with you, as we imagine and share someone's pain. Empathy evolves into compassion, which is why I feel for you. And we not only share the pain, but we want the other person's suffering eased. Compassion quickly evolves into kindness, where we are moved to do something to ease the person's suffering. I hate to see those stories. You know, it's like someone's laying on a sidewalk and 18 people just walked over them and nobody did anything. We need to have compassion and we need to have empathy and we need to help others. As the Dalai Lama and Lisa Berry both said, we are here to help each other, not hurt each other. Why would anybody want to hurt somebody else? That is what I don't understand. 646-378-0378. We're coming down to the last few minutes, and if you want to join in and comment on anything I've discussed about is happiness is a choice, anti-aging, meditation, having compassion, I'm a big mushball, these are the things that move me and that I like to talk about that I think are important. I'm really on this children thing too. Parents don't, I don't know. Do you realize how important it is what you say to your children? I think my new program that I'm working on is called It All Starts at Home. It does start at home. If you have a child, you need to be with that child. The number one thing you can give anyone, anywhere, whether it's work, at home, on the street, especially with your kids, is attention. You see it all the time. All your kids want is your attention. And I know it's overwhelming. I had two kids. This was before we had texting and a lot of emailing and YouTube, and we didn't have a lot of distractions. So it was basically sit there and stare at the kid all day to make sure that they didn't harm themselves. But, of course, love them and interact with them and give them attention, because that's really all anybody wants. That's the number one key. I've seen these people who give inspirational talks at business, and they give information on how to improve your sales. And you know what? Listen to your client. Don't go in to make a sale and talk at them. Listen to what they want and then tell them how you can help them. They want your attention. They want to know you're listening. That is true in every single walk of life. People just want to know that you're paying attention and that you're listening. And nothing is more important than paying attention and listening to a child. And I know it can be frustrating because they're kids and they're little and they don't know how to communicate and they're not on the same level as you. And you have to guide them and you have to protect them. But you have to be aware of what you're saying to your child. If your child does something wrong, you don't say, "Bad boy." Because you now have just told your beloved son that he's bad. And I sound simple, and if you disagree with me, let's chat about it. 646-378-0378. We have a few minutes left. But I think it is that simple. I think the power of the subconscious, which is something I'm really not that up on, I need to be more up on, is all these messages we receive from the world and all these messages we received as a child, and they're embedded in our brains. And if your parents said bad boy or bad girl, somewhere in there I'm thinking you're thinking that. And maybe you think I'm crazy. As I said, I am not a trained psychologist. I am just an avid follower of positive psychology and how the world is moving in that direction. And I just think it all starts at home. Even when I drive through Detroit and I see all these people sad and wandering the streets, I think if they would have had a good family life, if they would have had attention and love at home, maybe they wouldn't be wandering the streets alone and afraid without hope. So how can you tell me that it doesn't start at home? How can you tell me that it doesn't start from, don't have a baby unless you are prepared to love and take care of that baby? That's going to be in my book. Because I think as little girls, we get dolls and we think, oh, I'm going to grow up and I'm going to get married and I'm going to have a ring and I'm going to have a nice dress and then I'm going to have a baby. And it's not that simple. I think the basic philosophy of life is that simple, but I think that is not that simple. So you need to think before you have a baby. You need to be careful and make smart choices. And when you have that baby, you need to treat it well. You're nurturing another human being. It's a huge responsibility. And it's something that I think is really important. And I think as a society, we need to focus on more. But more on that later, because I have a great parenting expert, Nancy Serlin. And maybe next week I'll be talking about that with her. Again, I appreciate you listening. If you would like me to speak at your function, or would you like to connect with me, or tell me you think I'm full of it and you want to debate, I'm ready. Let's bring it on. Lisa Love Barry, Barry, @gmail.com. I'd love to meet you, share some love and positivity, and tell your friends and family they can listen to the show anytime. Right here, www.bodymindspiritradio.com. You can listen in the car, on the phone, anywhere, anytime. And I really appreciate you listening to me today. And I will look forward to connecting with you next week.